Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. A spring count shows a slight increase in the number of wolves in Denali National Park.
Last year was at 72 animals, and this year is at 76.
Park Science and Resources team leader Dave Schierichauer says the aerial count is still below average, but continues to rebound from a record low of 49 wolves in 2016. The state estimated last month that up to 8 park wolves were trapped or shot outside Denali's northeast boundary this past winter. Schierichauer says the take included the alpha male of the Riley Creek Pack, a wolf family group which was commonly seen last summer by visitors along the nearby park road.
If they happen to get a new alpha male or a new male steps up and they breed this spring, then they may contribute to wolf feeding opportunities.
The kill of one park wolf along the boundary has led to a disintegration of one of the most viewed groups in the park.
Biologist and wildlife advocate Rick Steiner of Anchorage suspects the Riley Creek Pack will disperse, diminishing the chances of seeing them along the park road, a situation similar to what happened 3 years ago to the once commonly viewed East Fork Pack.
The alpha female from East Fork was killed, and that led to the ultimate complete disintegration of the pack.
Steiner and other wildlife advocates have long pushed the state to ban wolf harvest outside the park's northeast boundary. The most recent peak in Denali's wolf population occurred between 2006 and 2008, when the boundary area was closed to wolf killing. The buffer was rescinded by the State Game Board in 2010. An ordinance approved by the Fairbanks City Council lines out local marijuana business regulations. The ordinance voted in at a meeting last night caps the number of retail shops at more than twice an initial number proposed by Mayor Jim Matherly. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
The council chambers were once again packed with partisans for and against a marijuana regulating ordinance introduced by Mayor Jim Matherly 3 months ago. But this time it was the council members' turn to talk as they debated a flurry of amendments to the ordinance, starting with a provision limiting the number of retail shops in the city to 12. Matherly says he chose that number because that's how many of the shops were operating or about to open.
9 were open, 3 were in the queue. That's where I originally started with the 12 to get it on the table for discussion.
Jerry Cleworth said the substitute ordinance that he and June Rogers introduced set the limit at 15 based on the principle that marijuana ought to be regulated like alcohol, as legalized marijuana supporters have long advocated.
Right now inside the city, we have 15 operating package stores, which is the equivalent to a retail establishment for cannabis.
Valerie Therrien moved to amend the substitute ordinance to eliminate the limit and to delete a provision that would require the city to reduce that number to 11 over time.
We don't need to put a number on the number of establishments that we need to have in our community. I believe that zoning is going to take care of that.
Council members approved that proposal 5-1, with Cleworth dissenting. Therrien then moved to increase the retail store limit to 25. She says that would be fair for the 6 shops now in business, as well as the 3 that are close to opening, and 16 others that have submitted applications and are under review by the State Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office.
I don't think that it was fair to the marijuana industry to limit the number of licenses after people had already initiated and spent their money, and now say to them, oh, we're going to cut it down to 15.
The council narrowly approved setting the limit at 25, with Cleworth, Rogers, and Jonathan Bagwell voting no, and Joy Huntington, David Prues, and Therrien voting yes, with Matherly casting the 4th and tie-breaking affirmative vote. Prues and Therrien also prevailed in a vote to eliminate a proposal to establish a minimum buffer of 750 feet between a marijuana retail shop and residential areas, schools, and rehab facilities. Their amendment reestablished the use of the borough's simpler system of measuring buffers from property line to property line. But they did not succeed in convincing the council to go along with a provision to authorize establishments to allow consumption of marijuana on site. Prues told marijuana advocates at the meeting that that's unlikely to happen anytime soon.
No one on this council has a taste for having on-site consumption. It's not legal in the state of Alaska. It's not legal in Fairbanks.
But in the end, the council approved the amended ordinance 6-0, and afterward, Matherly suggested to all in attendance that they may not have heard the last word on the issue.
This is not the last you'll see of this ordinance, I'm sure. and the discussions surrounding it, just so everyone knows.
But for now, the city's marijuana industry has for the first time a set of rules under which to operate. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
A Washington State man accused of setting a fire that destroyed a Cantwell Lodge bunkhouse was living there. Alaska State Troopers report that 33-year-old Jason Kapfer of Spokane shared a room with one of three other residents. They say Kapfer had just arrived in the area and recently started a job. A post on Kapfer's Facebook page says he began working as a stocker at Three Bears grocery store in Healy at the end of last month. Troopers say no one was injured in the early Sunday morning fire. They say the bunkhouse consisted of ADCO trailer units cobbled together and was completely consumed by flames. Kapfer was arrested Sunday afternoon while walking north along the Alaska Railroad tracks. Kapfer, who is also accused of slashing tires on vehicles at the lodge, is jailed in Fairbanks on arson and criminal mischief charges. I'm Dan Bross.